We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by Blue Moon. Made brighter, get Blue Moon delivered and see delivery options by visiting get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the CHGO Cubs podcast. My name is Corey. I am joined this time by our good friend Jared, whose work you can always find at allchgo.com. Of course, we are coming to you on Friday, March 22nd, Jared. So next week, we will not have this Friday edition. The Chicago Cubs will have begun their season against the Texas Rangers. Can you believe that we are almost here?
Finally. We'll have an actual game that counts in the standings to talk about and react to.
Yes, I am looking forward to it. It does feel like it has kind of crept up on us a little bit. I think, you know, especially I was back in the studio this week with Luke and Cody and Ryan, and, you know, a lot of the conversations, like, still kind of the same. We still are not positive about, like, the Cubs' third base situation. We'll talk a little bit about how Craig Counsell is going to lay out the rotation initially. He did kind of make that first announcement on Thursday, obviously in light of the Jameson Taillon injury situation, but some other decisions made. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, glad to ultimately be getting it underway and, you know, finally figuring out, like, can Christopher Morel plant his flag at third base? Is Michael Bush the top prospect we want him to be at first base? What does Shota Imanaga look like on the mound? And, you know, kind of at least move on from the questioning phase of all of this to, you know, watching these guys try and prove it out there.
Yeah. It is always nice when you get to move from, like, talking about everything hypothetically and sort of wondering at certain things and just now, all right, let's put this to the test. Let's see how this works. For, you know, for better or for worse, I'm sure we're going to get some pleasant surprises, but I'm sure we'll get plenty of things that'll go the other way too. But yeah, I agree. I think third base is still a big question mark. But I kind of like the fact that Christopher Morel, this has sort of become your job. And if you can play decent defense and hit like we know you can hit, there's a good chance you'll be the regular third baseman. I think the potential for Michael Bush is pretty high. So I'm excited about that. And I've really liked what we've seen from Imanaga this spring. So there's some bright spots for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, so we'll get into the rotation in a moment, but I suppose it's a good place to start, you know, with some spring training takeaways. I know you were out in Arizona. So, you know, just getting some of your thoughts on that. And as always, the spring training takeaways are presented by our sponsor, Factor. You can use code CHGOCUBS50 to get 50% off your first Factor box and free wellness shots for life with any active subscription at factormeals.com/CHGOCUBS50. So, you know, I know Ryan was out there for a little bit. Cody was out there for a little bit, but then you kind of followed them a few weeks later. And I know you've talked about this a little bit, but especially as we, you know, kind of wind down spring training, some of the roster cuts coming in, you're seeing guys, you know, kind of lined up in that first rotation stint. I'm curious, you know, what, after being there and seeing it, you know, if anything kind of changed your perspective or guys you really have your eye on. I know you mentioned Shota, but just some general takeaways a week away after, you know, having just been there and seeing all of that.
Yeah. So I was there, it was the 12th through the 15th. So kind of right as we were just on the heels of the Jameson Taillon news. And so one of the first things that I was talking to players and counsel about was this rotation question, because we already knew that fifth spot was going to be, you know, there was going to be a little bit of a battle for it. But then when Taillon goes down, at least for some amount of time, now you have these two spots to fill. So I talked to Jordan Wicks about it, talked to Drew Smyly about it. And, you know, Wicks, I think one of the most impressive things about him is for as little major league experience as the guy has, he really carries himself like a guy who's been around for a while. I asked him about, like, I said, hey, you know, you were already sort of in the discussion for the fifth spot, but now that there's going to be two, you got to feel pretty good about, you know, your position. And he said, you know, I came into spring with certain things I wanted to work on, stuck to my plan, not really like focusing too much on rotation battle stuff, anything like that. Just like a very mature mindset and approach about it. And Craig Counsell said the same thing when he was asked about that, just said, you know, this Jordan Wicks has, you know, the demeanor of somebody who's a veteran, even though he only made seven starts last year. So that was really good to see. When I talked to Drew Smyly, he, you know, now he has the actual veteran experience. So asking him about the rotation, the bullpen, you know, he's been there, done that. And his words were, and I thought now, given the news that we got on Thursday, like he said, I know I have a job. It's just a question of what my role will be. So, you know, and he's going into the bullpen. I think that's the right decision for him at this stage in his career. And so we've got now those fourth and fifth spots figured out, at least for, you know, the first couple of trips through the rotation. It's going to depend on what happens with Taillon and how quickly he's able to come back.
Right. So we've, you know, obviously alluded to that, but the, you know, report on Thursday was Javier Assad, Jordan Wicks in the Cubs rotation. So along, of course, with Justin Steele, Kyle Hendricks, Shota Imanaga. He is not, you know, Justin Steele will start on opening day, but beyond have like the official order, I'm sure they'll kind of play that by ear with how guys finish their camp and how everybody's feeling. But, you know, one, love the attitude from Drew Smyly. I think you have to appreciate that. You know, a guy that has played a lot of different roles and of course had an interest, you know, a tale of two seasons last year, you know, made some good starts, made some horrible starts, and then was one of, you know, the Cubs' best relievers down the stretch, which they desperately needed and actually didn't really get enough of, you know, as it turned out, down the stretch. And I know Brendan has been particularly intrigued, like Drew Smyly looks a little different. You know, he was at Driveline, like doing some of those videos, and I think his repertoire might look a little different. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on, as he was a guy who was very effective out of the pen. And as we kind of see how Craig Counsell utilizes these guys out of the pen, you know, but in particular, I'm very, very glad to see the young guys getting this opportunity. I know there was some discussion I saw on Twitter on Thursday, just kind of the debate of, do we think that this is how David Ross would have done things, like, or would Drew Smiley? And I don't know, right? But at the end of the day, I'm glad that they're getting the opportunity. I think they both earned it last year. And, you know, one of the things with this team that I think from a roster building standpoint has been maybe a little frustrating is the apprehension at times to really figure out what some of these young guys have. And I know these two got a pretty long leash last year, but people were very upset when Assad was skipped that last, you know, series of the year when Marcus Stroman tried to come back, and that didn't work very well. And not that we're relitigating that decision, but at least to start the season, I'm glad that, you know, these guys have an opportunity to go out there and kind of make it difficult, at least when Tyone comes back or if other things change, to not keep letting them start for this team. And I hope that's the situation we end up in.
Yeah, because, you know, when Tyone comes back, there will be, come at some point where they're going to need one of those guys to come back into the rotation. You know, yeah, in an ideal world, you've got your five guys, and those are the five guys that start all season long, but we all know it never works out that way. So if I like that they're getting this opportunity early in the season. So when the need arises at some point down the road, you're going to have somebody who is just coming back into the rotation, as opposed to introducing them into that role where they haven't been before. It is going to be interesting to see when the time does come, which of the two gets moved to the bullpen. And a lot of that, I'm sure, might depend on how they perform as starters in, you know, in April. Like, I'm sure council hasn't really even thought about that
right
at this point. Like, let's see how these guys actually do. But that'll be an interesting thing to just keep an eye out for when the time comes.
Yeah. And I think it also, you know, is going to be interesting. You know, of course, this is year two of a 4-year contract for Jamison Tyone. And I think, you know, we all knew that last year, the kind of mechanical stuff, very difficult to get ironed out in the middle of the season when you're kind of already going and have to pitch every fifth day. It does present one of those interesting situations, though, because from the fan base's perspective, when you and I are doing this show, I can occupy that space and you can more cleanly occupy the unbiased space, whereas when it's me and Brendan, we just veer straight off into that side. But, you know, I think it presents one of those situations where the fan base, if Javier Assad and Jordan Wicks look good, the tolerance for Jamison screwing around, and I hope that's not the case. I believe that, you know, hopefully he's got some of that ironed out and can get back to the pitcher we saw in New York. But, you know, I sometimes I look forward to those debates if they happen. I don't want him to struggle, but they're fun to watch people panic over. And if Wicks and Assad look good and Tyone comes back and looks even a smidge like that guy we saw last year, it's going to rile the fan base up a little bit.
And in a way, that is kind of what you want to have happen, where you want them to make that a really hard decision. Because, yeah, getting Tyone back to even sort of like the average of what he's been as a pitcher in his career is going to be a huge step forward from where he was last year.
Yeah.
And he's going to end up looking like, hey, that's your bounce back player of the team, if that's what happens. But I think you're right. Like, for everybody, and especially the fans, the guy that they really want to see prove it is Jamison Tyone. Like, we've got you for a 4-year contract here. That first year was really pretty rough. You alluded to that game in New York in particular where he looked really, really great. There were some bright spots, but like that was a rough season for him. So it would be pretty, in a way, kind of nice. Like, I want Craig Counsell and Tommy Hotovy to really have to struggle with what are we going to do, because both Wicks and Assad looked good. What happens with Tyone? Because, yeah, I think in a way, the leash for Tyone, with the fans, that leash might actually be the shortest.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we ended up on Tyone almost inadvertently, but I think, you know, he does represent, it would be so important. It's easy to say, like, oh, if he was good, it would be so important. Of course it would. Yeah. But for him to just be more of a reliable kind of anchor for this rotation is so important for the depth and the kind of burden it would take off of guys that you don't really you don't know if you can count on. You know, we liked what we saw from Jordan Wicks. We liked what we saw from Javier Assad. And I'm very excited to see them get this opportunity. But we don't really know what to expect from them necessarily. Kyle Hendricks looked a lot more like himself as the season went on and he was recovering, you know, after the shoulder injury and stuff. But he's up there in age and, you know, dealing with those kind of lingering shoulder things is always kind of a question mark. And then, of course, you have a guy coming over from the MPB in Shota who has looked really good in the spring. He's racking up the strikeouts. And, you know, of course, it's not apples to apples. But, you know, you saw in Yamamoto's first start, there's an adjustment period when you're coming to a brand new league. It doesn't matter what country, you know, if you're coming from Japan, Korea, Mexico, anywhere that is not Major League Baseball, there might be an adjustment period. And sometimes that goes the other way. Guys don't know how to look at you and you're mowing guys down because they're unfamiliar with you too. So a lot of question marks. And so if Jameson Taillon could just be the person the Cubs signed, not even the best version of that, like that would kind of take a lot of weight off of everybody else. And I think in addition to that, you know, we saw as the season wore on last year that Justin Steele was often in a situation where if he did not pitch like a guy that could have won the Cy Young, one, the Cubs weren't going to win the game. And two, you couldn't necessarily rely on anybody else to do that. So it put a lot of pressure on him. So I think, you know, because of the youth and the unproven nature of some of these guys, like you really, when he is healthy, you really need Jameson Taillon to at least just be stable, right? Like at least know what we're getting every fifth day. Whereas last year for so much of that, I mean, on an inning to inning basis, you didn't know where that fastball was going to go or what kind of command he would have or anything like that. So it does, I think, really represent, you know, obviously a pretty crucial thing. And it does also extend to how we've talked about how we feel like the Cubs have some good depth as far as their starters are concerned. And this is going to be a good test of that. You know, if those guys look good and then Taillon can come back healthy, you feel a lot more confident. And hey, if we ever need a sixth man or a guy gets hurt or a guy needs a rest, you know, so this is going to shine, some light on that. We will talk about everything and more when we come back, but want to hit our first ad break here. Jared, from our sponsor, Factor.
Well, Corey, I'm actually excited to talk about Factor because my wife and I are, we are Factor people. We get a box every month at our house, and I can attest to these are good meals. And Factor, eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're always fresh, never frozen. They're chef crafted, dietitian approved, and they are ready to go in just 2 minutes. And I can verify that personally. You pop those things in the microwave, 2 minutes, you are ready to go. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. They've got 2-minute meals. You can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Or if you're not in the market for meals, you can get pancakes, smoothies, and more. There's a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. And one of the things I love about it, no prep, no mess. Wife and I, we've got 4 kids. We're doing dishes all the time, but not with Factor. They're ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. And they're very flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. So if those Factor meals are starting to pile up, you can hit pause on that for a little while. They're the perfect solution for if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. So we've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So head to factormeals.com/CHGOCubs50 and use our code CHGOCubs50 to get 50% off. That's code CHGOCubs50 at factormeals.com/CHGOCubs to get 50% off.
Yes, sir. They are delicious. I've had
they're legit.
Plenty of the meals, a lot of the smoothies. They really are delicious. So if it's something you're in the market for, I would encourage you to take advantage of that deal. Want to turn to our next sponsor, and that is our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It is just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. March Madness, of course, is here starting this weekend, which means the biggest moments in college basketball are going to be here, and they are closer, and we will get some exciting moments for these next few weeks. You can be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a skill-based fantasy game, and I love it. I've been playing it, you know, recently since they got into the fold here at CHGO, and I don't know why I have waited this long. It is so easy to use. Their app is great. And looking at this weekend, of course, I'm looking at the games on Friday night. And you can take Tristan Newton and Mark Sears, UConn and Alabama, both at 17.5 points. I'm going to lock in the more than. It's as simple as that. They set the line. You choose more than or less than. I'm going to go more than on some of those big players on some of these teams that maybe will end up in the Final Four. And those are going to be part of my picks for this first weekend. You can go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use the code CHGO. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, Jared. So we are back on Thursday. We got some more cuts from the Cubs roster. These are, you know, going to keep rolling in. Obviously, you've got to get it dwindled down. The Cubs still have a little bit on there, and I think, you know, they will likely take this probably as close as they can with some of the injuries guys are battling and some of the question marks of, you know, who may or may not be available on opening day. They've got some 40-man stuff they're going to have to clear up eventually, that those decisions will obviously affect. And the first one, you know, is one that I think I know the chat when I was in the studio on Wednesday with the guys was asking about David Bodie. And David Bodie just sort of seems like one of those guys. If you could get paid for spring training, he would be a billionaire over these last few years. And you know, he's not a guy that I'm clamoring for. I think I'm much more interested, you know, if the third base situation or DH situation isn't clear in someone like Garrett Cooper, than I am David Bodie. But I guess I'm just curious your perspective. Surprised at all with the uncertainty at third base, two of those depth options dealing with some injuries, Patrick Wisdom, a back, Nick Madrigal, a hamstring? I forget.
Hamstring, yeah. Hamstring.
You know, that David Bodie not getting a crack here. Again, I'm not disappointed necessarily, but you know, just interesting that a guy who can play third base as you're trying to figure this out is one of these early cuts when they still have about, you know, I think 9 more guys to cut.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising on one hand because of his major league experience. I mean, David Bodie was in the majors long enough to get himself a contract.
Right.
And I think while I was in Arizona, I heard a fan say to David Bodie, you know, something, best home run ever or something like that, you know, shouting him out for that grand slam against the Nationals in 2018. In August of that season. So like, you know, now in 2024, it can be in a way kind of easy to forget that like this guy was a major leaguer for a while. But I think part of what is going on here is he's not on the 40 man. So in order to bring him to the major league roster, it means you have to make a 40-man move.
Right.
And so it is somewhat surprising because, you mentioned, you've got Magical down, you've got Wisdom down. And so now you're really leaning on Morel to play third base on a full-time basis or close to full-time basis. So there was a part of me when I saw the Wisdom news that thought, like, you know, they might have to make a roster move and get Bodie on the 40-man so that they can bring him up. But part of the reason why I think that they didn't is you've got Miles Mastroboni, who we really, I think, saw, especially toward the end of last season, is a very, very solid utility player, a very good guy to have on your bench and available, is probably maybe a better hitter than he gets credit for, flexible on defense. You can shortstop, third base. So having Mastroboni there, I think, is a factor into that decision. But there's also the fact that Michael Busch, who, even though he's sort of slated to be their first baseman, he can play third as well.
Right.
And now that they do have Cody Bellinger, there might be days where you see Busch move over to third, Bellinger at first, and those kinds of things to help cover, you know, for some of those needs at third, depending on, you know, whatever pitching matchups, guys needing a day off, stuff like that. So with all of that in mind, I guess I can kind of see why, all right, I guess why Bodie's not getting a shot.
Yeah.
This, despite the fact that I think he could be a decent backup third baseman if you need him to be.
Yeah. And you know, they still haven't made the decision, you know, on who's replacing Caleb Killian on the 40 man. So that one's still looming. And yeah, I think, you know, ultimately they're going to take some of this down to the wire. You know, Garrett Cooper, as I mentioned, is a guy you would have to add, you know, same thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's got a couple homers. I think he's got, you know, an 8-something OPS so far in spring. Whatever you want to put into that is up to you, but the guy hits lefties. And, you know, as they kind of comb this roster down in this last week, you know, I think they're being very careful about when they make these decisions, and they're going to have to wait and see, you know, who's beginning the season on the injured list, how long of a stint on the injured list is that going to be? And they're, you know, clearly still working through some of that. They're going to have to make decisions on Madrigal, Wisdom, Tyone, and figure out how long they plan to be without those guys. But yeah, David Bodie, Daniel Palencia also down on Thursday. I know a guy that, you know, I think people had kind of hoped to see more of last year, or at least like some better performances of, but a guy that, you know, again, is still a very interesting pitcher. And as time goes on, hopefully can help this team out and at least be part of that pitching depth. But, you know, when I was in the studio on Wednesday, I was saying, like, I feel like at this point I have appealed to authority a lot on Craig Counsell. I just like listening to him talk, and I just kind of trust him. But one of the things we talked about on Wednesday, and you know, these types of things are part of that as well, as you're dealing with these kind of confusing injury timelines and managing rookies and stuff like that. This is going to be it's a test of your chops here for Craig Counsell. And, you know, he certainly dealt with that in Milwaukee. You know, there are times he won a lot of games with a roster that not many people would have expected him to, or probably a lot of other managers could not have. But, you know, as you were laying out that sort of scenario with Cody Bellinger playing first base and maybe Michael Busch moving, or who's DHing, going to be a lot of moving pieces for Craig Counsell. There's a good set of guys who are going to be, you know, Dansby's going to be your shortstop every day for 162, unless somebody convinces him to take a rest a right. single time.
Yep. You have to talk him into it, is what.
Right. Yeah. You have to beg him to sit down for 2 days. Nico's going to be at second. You know, your catching situation, at least for now, pretty clear. Hap, Suzuki, Bellinger, Talkman, you know, those are your outfielders. But there's definitely going to be a lot of playing time that is up for grabs, which at times is exciting because it gives those guys an opportunity to, you know, hey, Michael Busch, you want to be the first baseman for the Chicago Cubs for the next however many years, it's right there for you. Christopher Morel, right. You want to be an everyday third baseman, like, it is your position to lose. Yeah. But it's going to be fascinating to me to see Counsell work in this and kind of what the leash is on a lot of those things. Because if the team comes out the gate and is competitive, that's going to put a lot of pressure on those situations, you know, to, hey, you kind of have to perform. We can't give you whatever that leash might be because we're trying to stay in this playoff race and maybe somebody else could be a better option for us.
And I have a feeling that this division is going to be a tight one. So there's a pretty good chance they're going to be in that sort of a position where they have to be having those conversations with guys about like, hey, we're in a division race here. So we need you to be able to rely on you. We need you to perform. Cause I don't think there's a runaway favorite in the division right now. Probably three teams
at least. Yeah.
Maybe four that you really could look at as they're all going to be kind of bunched up. I mean, I know we've all spent some time looking at standings projections from Baseball Prospectus and Fangraphs and stuff. And those are, you know, we know all the caveats for those, but one of the things you notice when you look at them is that division's expected to be real tight. So yeah, you're right. Like that's in a way it's exciting. Like, hey, Michael Busch, you could be our guy. Christopher Morel, you could be our guy. But this is in some sense sort of a prove it season. Like you have the chance to earn this spot and then keep it. Which is pretty exciting, but there's a lot on the line in a year where you expect to be competitive.
When it's in contrast to last year, but similar in a way that last year you kind of had the leash for older guys. And in some cases, that leash was much too long, as some of us have talked about a lot. But, you know, eventually they did have to make those decisions because they found themselves playing for their season. And then it turned into, well, these are the guys that saved the season, so they're playing every day. This is, of course, not, you know, a sort of for free, basically, Eric Hosmer or an aging Trey Mancini or Tucker Barnhart. But the situation sort of mirrors itself in a way in that it does raise the question of like, okay, what is the leash on Christopher Morel? Like how long, if he's hitting, let's assume he's hitting like we know he can. If the fielding doesn't catch up, how long, what does that leash look like? You know, do you put up with that for a month? Do you put up with it for 2 months? Same with Michael Busch, a big time prospect who everybody understood why the Dodgers did it, but one of the things that a lot of the prospect writers and things that, you know, people that really believed in Michael Busch, you know, were not happy about, I guess, was that he didn't really get that much of a fair shake with LA, which again was understandable from their perspective. But that's a tough question to answer. If Cody Bellinger is the same guy he was last year or better, and Ian Happ is having another great season, and Seiya Suzuki is that guy you saw for the last 2 months of last year, and this team looks like they are definitely a threat to win a bad division, how soon do you make those changes? And then the question becomes, changes for who? Like in some of these positions, the depth isn't that great. So are you relying on some of these guys who you feel can give you at least like a baseline kind of production? Do you try some of these other guys in the minors and see who can catch fire? It's a particularly interesting situation. Do you change things completely? Does PCA come up? And now Cody Bellinger is your first baseman every day, things like that. It's sort of a fascinating situation that they've laid out for themselves, and one that I was really hoping they would avoid. But you know, we're a week away, so here we are.
And you've already like taken us there, because that's where my mind went to, you know, let's Michael Busch first, because there is a pretty easy to envision scenario where Pico Armstrong comes up. He's your center fielder. Cody Bellinger gets moved to first base. Now Pico Armstrong comes with his own questions.
Yes.
And it's been talked to death, the number of plate appearances last year. Don't judge anything he did at the plate last year. That's not really telling us anything. But we know defensively what he's capable of. He more than showed that in his brief stint in the majors. So there's that scenario where if Michael Busch, who also there's reason to wonder, like, is the bat really going to fully translate to the major leagues? We don't really know that yet.
Yeah.
And so that's a big question for him. And he needs to prove that. And so you can see kind of the path if Michael Busch doesn't look like he's either not working out or maybe not quite ready to be a full-time full-time player, they've got a scenario where they can cover for that. The other side of the infield with Christopher Morel, I think one of the things I'll be most curious to follow over the first several weeks of the season is, can the bat cover enough for defensively what you're probably going to get? And where is that line? Because I think you kind of have to be a little gracious with him about the defense at third, but how much can you allow that before that becomes like, hey, your defense is negatively outweighing what you provide with the bat. So
yeah,
we love the way you hit, but you're costing us runs and extra bases and things like that at third base. And so we got to go back to looking at you as a DH or something along those lines. So that's the one thing I think through April, maybe into early May, I'll be paying a lot of attention to, is just where's the balance with Morel between what he gives you at the plate and what he gives you with the glove.
Yeah. And so I want to hit our second ad break here, but, you know, was thinking about the Michael Busch thing. And of course it's not the same scenario, because they did bring in those veterans that kind of, you know, maybe they wanted to at least try or give some runway to, but, you know, you look at what Matt Mervis did in AAA and through that career, and he got 99 plate appearances last year. He looked bad, right? He had a 46 mm-hmm. WRC plus. Like, I'm not, you know, excusing that. But it does sort of just illustrate, like, the time for guys to prove stuff if the team needs answers is not often that long. And now they traded a lot for Michael Busch. They did not do that for Matt Mervis. So I would think, especially, again, without that sort of veteran, you know, backup to try or give the first runway to, whatever it is, I expect it to be much longer. But it's just sort of the most recent example we have of a guy who killed it in the minors at first base. And after 99 plate appearances, it was like, hey, you're not ready for this. Yeah. We got to try some other stuff because we don't have the time for this. We have to figure something out. And that can't just be letting you figure things out, you know, in right. perpetuity. So
having you flounder at the plate. And honestly, the fact that they traded for a first base prospect in the offseason tells us a lot about where they think
right
Matt Mervis is.
Right. And so, yeah. And again, right, that he's not getting that chance again. Yes. Right.
Right. Right. Because otherwise, maybe you would have gone into spring training thinking of him as in the way that we are with Michael Busch. So he in my mind is a little deeper on the depth chart is at first base for sure.
Yeah. All right. We'll hit our second ad break here. Jared, why don't you tell us about our wonderful sponsors at Blue Moon?
Man, you know, as the weather warms up, we get into baseball season. I'm not sure there's much better than a nice cold beer. So Blue Moon, this show is presented to you by Blue Moon, made brighter. You can get Blue Moon delivered and see delivery options by visiting get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. Again, that is get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. I know everybody loves the Blue Moon with the orange slice in it, but I think Blue Moon tastes great no matter what. So as you're getting ready for baseball season, you need to get stocked up with some Blue Moon. Check that out. And Blue Moon reminds you to celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado.
All right. And our next sponsor, the wonderful folks at Ray CDJR. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, then we have some great news for you. Our partner, Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Fox Lake, is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And you know what that means? You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. For a limited time, lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for 39 months. If that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect, thanks to Ray's price promise. Don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. But that is not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 1st. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram because they are the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. And for more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com. Serving the community since 1963. All right, Jared, as we kind of begin to wrap up our Friday edition here, I did want to ask, I know we alluded to it earlier, and of course, you know, the Dodgers and Padres starting things a bit earlier. And, you know, I've always said, and, you know, you want to be careful, like just because a guy is coming over from the same league or the same country, they're not the same player. They're not the same person. It doesn't really work that way. But not even just on Shota, but, you know, watching Yamamoto kind of get a rude welcome to the major leagues out, you know, after an inning against the Padres, giving up several runs, not just Shota, but anybody that jumps out to you as, you know, maybe someone you're looking at, like not worried about having a rough start, but just as we kind of start the season, you know, someone you're looking to and checking on how they might kick things off and shake the rust off of the long winter in the spring.
Hmm. Are we talking league wide or are we
just the Cubs? Yeah.
Just the Cubs. Okay. I like that question because I did. I was up Wednesday and Thursday morning at 5 a.m. watching some Dodgers and Padres and saw the Yamamoto start on Thursday morning. And, you know, and there's a lot of factors at play there. But yeah, he definitely didn't look so hot. And so, yeah, when I think about the Cubs, I think you mentioned him earlier, and it's a weird guy to mention because he's a veteran, but I really am curious to see what Kyle Hendricks looks like, because last year he was coming back from the shoulder stuff. He looked pretty good, but there are still, you know, he'll be what, 34, I think, this year. I'm off the top of my head. I'm not even looking that up. So somebody can tell me if I'm wrong, but yeah,
you're right. Yeah.
Look at that. All right. but with the shoulder stuff, because like that can come and go sometimes. And so when we talk about the rotation, we don't really ever, he has not come up, I think, because we've been so focused on who's going to take those last two spots. Jameson Taillon's injury, and it can make it sound like we're just assuming that Kyle Hendricks is going to be your number two, number three, right, and all is going to be fine. But I think everybody knows that's not necessarily guaranteed. He could struggle. He could, you know, there are reasons to really want to keep a close eye on how he looks. I got to see him pitch at spring training against Cleveland. And it was funny afterwards, we kind of joked with him and said, "Hey, was that the most important game against Cleveland you've ever pitched?" And he's like, "Yeah, forget game seven. It was all about today." So, it's kind of a funny moment with him, but yeah, I think that's the guy who, as we make a couple trips through the rotation in April, I want to see how Hendricks looks. How about you, Corey?
Yeah, that's fair. I think, you know, Shota is certainly an obvious one. You'd like to see, you know, how kind of that whiff rate carries over. You know, in particular, I was watching a video, I think, of Todd Frazier from maybe a couple weeks ago, where he was sort of saying, like, I'm looking at Yamamoto's fastball and I'm not sure I'm loving it. And I'm thinking, at least as he makes the adjustment, it's going to get hit, which, you know, obviously seemed a little prescient from one Todd Frazier, once called the most exciting third baseman in Chicago, while Chris Bryant was still here. If you know, you know, on that one. But so I'm curious how that plays, you know, and I know Brendan has talked a good bit about how, you know, Shota is going to have to rethink how maybe how he uses his fastball in particular versus how he used it over in the MPB. But, you know, keeping on, you know, someone that Brendan's talked about, he's been watching all these YouTube videos of Dansby Swanson and how he has tried to adjust his swing and specifically how he's working his back leg on some of those breaking balls that we saw him struggle with, especially on the outer portion of the zone last year. And especially down the stretch, you know, we heard from Dansby a lot on the frustrations he had about not producing as much on the offensive side, you know, in that last stretch of the season, I think especially in August. And, you know, so I'm not sure how significant these changes are. I mean, obviously I've watched the videos, but as far as what gets carried over from the spring to what he takes into the season and what he keeps working on. But, you know, anytime a guy makes even a minor adjustment for a professional athlete, especially in the game of baseball, is always a major adjustment. So I'm curious what that looks like. And, you know, I think he put a lot of pressure on himself with the contract and wanting to be that leader. And, you know, I'm not all of a sudden thinking, oh, maybe he's going to be a 140 WRC plus kind of guy, right? Like, no, but I am curious. I feel like, you know, a good portion of the fan base wants to see him hit more and be, you know, more of a middle of the order guy than I think he should be, or the Cubs should be relying on him to be. But, you know, with all these question marks at certain positions, and they didn't really go in and add, you know, too much certainty to this lineup, the pressure is still going to fall on Dansby a little bit, whether that's right or wrong, to perform at the plate. So I'm curious how that looks. You know, you always have guys who don't perform as well in the cold and stuff like that. And you have a guy coming in, making some adjustments to how he's trying to handle certain pitches. I'm curious to see if that pays off. And, you know, if he does look better against some of that breaking stuff and if that affects his approach at the plate at all, and ultimately just what we see from him. So I wouldn't say which direction I'm expecting. I kind of expect him to be the hitter he's always been, which is the perspective I had last year. But you never know. So I'm definitely curious about that.
Yeah, because there's always, you know, a guy comes in under his circumstances. You're the big free agent signing. You're the shortstops. You're immediately kind of the centerpiece of the defense and expected to be, you know, somewhere in the middle of the batting order. So the expectations are high because of that, because of the contract. You're adjusting to a new city, new environment. So that's another one who.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Really worth keeping an eye on how does he look at the plate? Because it's easy, like, you can take for granted what he does on defense, so much so that you don't, it's almost like you don't even notice it. And then you turn your focus to, oh, hey, he's not hitting as well as we thought he was going to. What's up with that? So, Swanson, I think also worth keeping a close eye on.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not a guy that I'm worried about, but a guy that I'm excited to see, you know, in terms of how he enters this year is, of course, you know, our opening day starter, Justin Steele. Just from the perspective of, you know, we had him coming into last year after that stretch the year before where he had certainly looked like a big time guy, but he, you know, hadn't spent the whole season at that level and, you know, in the rotation, and just that was coming into last year. Now coming into this year, this is a guy who was very much in that Cy Young race up until the last couple weeks, handful of starts of the season. And, you know, just with his attitude and the type of person he is, I'm very excited to watch Justin Steele, opening day starter, the man in this rotation, and a guy who, if I were a betting man, you know, is kind of pissed off he didn't finish off that Cy Young campaign, and what that looks like for him kind of taking the mound and going 0-60 here on opening day.
Yeah. Yes. The Cy Young revenge tour.
Sure.
Can we call it that?
Yeah. I think Cody would like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take it. Let's go with it.
Yeah. So I'm very much looking forward to that. You know, as I, you know, you and I aren't always in the studio or on the shows, and, you know, we'll of course be a part of the coverage as the season unfolds, but, you know, since next Friday, obviously we're not going to have a standard Friday edition, I don't believe, as the Cubs season has going to begun underway. Do want to remind you all on Thursday, opening day, we do have a watch party at Country Club in Wrigleyville. That is where we had our post-game or our pre-game show, on opening day last year. It's a great time. Free to come if you'd like. Visit AllCHGO, the events page. We just ask that you RSVP so we know how many people kind of to expect, and we can kind of let the bar know how many people to expect and what's going to be going on. But we would love to see you. Fun environment to watch the game. But to finish off, Jared, I just kind of want to, you know, you were just in spring training. We're less than a week away as you and I are airing this episode. What do you think, man? What are you feeling, optimistic, pessimistic, or are you kind of in that spot? Hey, the division's up for grabs and it might come down to the last day again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm normally pretty optimistic. That's just, I tend to err that way, but I do feel like this division's up for grabs. Buckle up, because we could be in store for, yeah, last week of the season thing. Things coming right down to the wire. There's just too many teams, Cincinnati, St. Louis, even Milwaukee, and the Cubs all bunched up together. So I think it's up for grabs. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think I'm about in that same place, which, as I keep saying, is the only thing I ask them not to do, basically. I if the division is projected for 84 wins, all I asked was that they were the sure person to bet on for that. And
I remember, I think we talked about this before, and I'm fairly certain you said build a roster that's at least good for 90 wins. If I'm remembering right,
something I would have said. Yeah, because, you know, and look, like if you had built a roster for 90 wins, you're projected to win this division by several games, a fairly decent margin. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I remain in my feelings about that, but I'm looking forward to it. I think their roster definitely, as we've all talked about, is better set up at the beginning of this season than it was at the beginning of last season. And I know it's not where we all wanted to kind of rest our head at night, but I am very excited for the new manager. I think that is going to play a really significant role. And that's not to, you know, throw any shade at David Ross, but I think Craig Counsell is really good at his job. And he's been given a lot of chess pieces that he has to figure out here. And I think he is genuinely the best person in baseball, or at least one of them, to be given such a puzzle and try to figure it out. So I'm looking forward to that. As I said, we would love to see you. Here's the graphic real quick before we sign off. That is not the right graphic. That's the takeovers. We'd love to have you at the takeovers during the season. I was hoping that was going to be our opening day graphic. Anyway, allchgo.com, visit the events page. We'll see you at Country Club for opening night. As always, check out allchgo.com to read all of Jared's wonderful work, our guy Ryan Herrera's wonderful work. The team will be with you setting up next week, getting you ready those final days of spring training. And then, like I said, we will be with you for a live post-game show after the Cubs and Rangers open up the season next week. Baseball is here. We appreciate you joining us here on the CHGO Cubs podcast. We appreciate all your support for CHGO. We will talk to you again soon. And as always, go Cubs.
We all silly like the mayor.